Thanks for all those that are joining us online. Thank you for everybody here. And more cups are coming in the house. All right. Thank y'all for being here. Look, I know this is Father's Day, and this is a message that fathers can receive, but I want to hurry up and say that this is not just for dads. This is for hearts. This is for moms, too. This is for leadership in every way. And you say, well, I'm not a leader. Well, you probably are. Because even if you're a big brother or a sister, you got somebody following the trail behind you. If you got friends, you got somebody walking with you. Whatever your job is or whatever your role is, you know, you're some level of leadership. And so this message is not just a dad message, it's a Bible message for all those who have hearts, because God's involved in that. And so I'm for you 110%, and I'm going to, I love to exhort. I love to be an exhorter. Sometimes a little prophet comes out. You're going to get to hear a little bit of that today. But I just want to tell you something. According to the Bible, it's 1 Corinthians 10, and don't turn there. Matter of fact, I'm going to have to give you scriptures today, and I'll give you notes next week. But in 1 Corinthians 10, the Bible talks about that the Old Testament is given to us as examples. And they're pictures. And they're great because you get to see God. You get to see yourself a lot of times. You get to see the consequences of folk that choose death. And you get to see the benefits of folk that choose life. Now, this is beautiful because this is Father's heart for you. I'm talking to every single person that's watching or listening or here. I want to tell you, God's heart for you. And He's told His people, even in Old Testament, He says, I set before you death and life. Now, He tells you what He wants. He says, choose life. And He wants you to choose life, because when you say yes, and that's what choosing life is saying yes to Him. When you say yes to Him, He's got so many benefits. And He wants to love on you. He wants you to get to know Him. He wants there to be intimacy between you and Him. He wants to give you a life of discovery and adventure. And if you say no to Him, it means that you're refusing it. Okay, I'm trying to make it clear and plain. You know, that's kind of what I do. And so really and truly, this, we're going to see some pictures here, because I'm going to be in Old Testament. And we're going to look at a king this week. And guess what? I know this is Father's Day. It's supposed to be one sermon. This is a Father's Day series. I know, that's okay. Y'all give me freedom to follow Jesus, okay, and to be me. And so next Sunday we're going to have another in this series of looking at a king. And so, but we're going to focus on 2 Chronicles 25 today. And you can go home and read this. You can kind of follow along, because I got to tell it kind of in a hurry. But it goes like this. You know, it's very, very important for us to show our kids. And this is what discipline is. You know, it's important for leadership, because even in exhortation, there's room for teaching and there's room for correction, even in exhortation. And I want to tell you, parents need to be positive. Come on, you need to be positive. And you can absolutely load your kids down with law. And you can load them down with law by saying, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not, don't, no, no, no. And I want to tell you, there's room for that, because they need to know the consequences of choosing death over life. And they, in little ways, as they're growing up, and there needs to be, they need to know and experience there's consequences for disobedience. Because what you're doing is that you're training them to have a heart for the Lord, to say yes to God. I don't want to refuse the Lord. I don't want to say no to God. I want to say yes to God. There's benefits when I say yes. There's consequences when I say no. I choose life. And so that's a part of what it's all about. But when you're dealing with your kiddos, look, we're to teach them no through grace, which means that you're to do it in the most positive way possible. Okay, now, I was kind of strange, but you know what? It worked for me. And the Lord will give you wisdom to apply it to your family. See, that's what's beautiful about the Lord. But it kind of went like this in our home, that there was definitely some lines that had to be drawn. We call them love lines. Got to be drawn. But at the same time, the best way to encourage your kids and saying, no, 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 don't, all the time is to say, you know what? I believe in you. And I believe you're going to use wisdom in making a decision to do what's best. And this is what's best. That is less. This is best. And I'm trusting you that you won't play this video game more than about 10 more minutes. Do you see what I'm saying? And we're going to get after them studies and get that done. Then we're going to get to have some more fun later. Do you see what I'm saying? I know this room's a mess. We recognize it's a mess, right? Yes. Okay. I believe in you. And I trust that in about 10 more minutes, we're going to take 15 minutes to give it everything we got to get this room ready. As a matter of fact, I believe in you so much, I'm going to join you. And so let's give it 10 minutes, and then we're going to give it 15 minutes to get it as clean as we can to make your mama smile. Somebody say amen. Okay, there's a way of approach. And I know that the normal world way is just negative, negative, negative. But thank God that He shows us a better way. Let's deal with our kiddos as the Lord deals with us. As gently as we can, isn't that the way He deals with us? As gently as we can, as hard as we have to, as gently as we can, to promote life. Amen? Okay, well, that was free. I don't think that was even in the notes. Okay, but here we go. Sometimes we're raised by dads that are not the best example. Now, if you had a dad, a godly dad, that was an example in the Word and the church, the Bible, you know what? You celebrate him, you celebrate him. If you had one that was not, you celebrate him. You honor him anyway. Now, I want to tell you, what's neat about the family of God is that He will give us dads in the Lord. You see, I want to tell you, even if you didn't have a dad, you know what the Lord says? I'm going to be your daddy. I'll be a father to the fatherless. And I want to tell you, you're going to have an advantage because you're going to have Him as a daddy. And He loves to show Himself up personal in your life. Now, I know human dads do wrong. You're looking at a human dad that did wrong. I don't claim credit for my boys' success. I told somebody last week, look, I tell my boys, don't you dare get me a present for Father's Day because you living for the Lord is better than any present you could ever give me. Do you see that? Now, one pastor I told that to said, oh, that helps me. I'm going to tell my dad, I'm your present. You don't get nothing else. You know, no, I'm not. You know, it's kind of funny. But what I'm telling you is this, is that it's important that, you know what? We show honor where honor's due. If you can't honor your dad for loving the Lord and walking after the Lord, honor him for what you can honor him for. A good worker, provider, okay? Hey. Whatever you can find, pour it on. Now, my dad didn't love the Lord while I was growing up. My dad didn't fall in love with the Lord till after I'd been walking with the Lord for a number of years in ministry. As a matter of fact, I helped disciple my dad. But I want to tell you what he did. He gave me a granddad when I was little that loved Jesus. And I saw my granddad walk with the Lord when it was not popular in his home to do so. He was made fun of, okay, belittled. And he was a pastor, and I want to tell you something. I saw him on Sunday mornings fight a battle in his own home, and he didn't fight back. He smiled, loved the Lord, took his Bible, loaded up in old Squeaky the car, and I got to load up with him, and we'd go to them country churches all day long. Had that quart jar of water that kept me all day long in them services. And hear my granddaddy preach. But he was very humble, walked in great humility before God and man. After I got to school, see, my granddaddy went to heaven. After I got to school, the Lord gave me, my Bible professor himself took me under his wing. I didn't even ask. You know what that is? God's favor. See, God will bring godly dads across your path. Do you want them? Because everybody needs dads in the Lord. And every dad in the Lord needs sons in the Lord. Now, you know I'm talking about leadership. This goes for moms, too. But I'm here to tell you this. This Bible professor took me under his wing. Walked in great humility. Walked in such humility before God, he was kind of disrespected by some of the big shots in the denomination. That didn't bother him a bit. He walked with a smile and walked with humility. He poured his life into me. And I got to be his first youth pastor. And you know, just the time with him was treasure. And then there was Leonard Ravenhill. And when I was in college, I read Why Revival Tarries. And there's a number there in a book. And I called it. It was just going to tell somebody on the other end that this, I was broken, this touched me. Worked. And when I called, he answered the phone. And we were on the phone for over an hour. And he said, I want you to come see me. And I did. And I want to tell you, I got to spend a couple of years with him in a little personal, private Bible study in his home. And there would be three or four other people joining. But then after it was over with, he'd tell them, okay, now y'all can go on. And he called me Jim. I never corrected him. He called me Jim. And he'd say, now, Jim, you stay here now. Yes, sir. And I'd stay there, and I'd listen to him tell the stories of the great men of God of the past and the experiences of his walk with God in the ministry and how he would weep because he loved Jesus so much and loved people. And I want to tell you, it had a great impact on my life. And then I want to tell you something. Peter Lord was like a dad in the Lord to me. And I want to tell you, the phone calls, a lot of it was on the phone calls and stuff and talking back and forth. And at conferences, he'd want me to sit by him. And I got to go out to Titusville a couple of times to spend time there and in his home and spending with him. And just his love for me, the sonship from him, and it just taught me. And I'm just going to say this to you in a hurry. I know there's a big emphasis on discipleship, and there should be. I mean, discipleship, we should grow. We should be lifetime learners. But I want to announce something to you, that discipleship is not the final level. I want to tell you something from God's heart. Is that he doesn't just want you to be a disciple. He wants you to be a son and daughter. It's sonship over discipleship. And I want to tell you, he wants that for you. And so I want to tell you, I caught that from Peter Lord. And then there was Glenn Taylor, and we got to speak at conferences together. And as a matter of fact, they would put us in the same room together. And we would stay up, you know. I just loved him, and he poured such his life into me. And he's the only one that's still on this side of heaven. Still alive is Glenn Taylor. So I texted him this morning and shared with him that, you know what, there are many that have walked in your footsteps and stood on your shoulders. Let me announce, we are where we are because of God and other people. Don't you dare think it's by your own bootstrap. I'm telling you, that's the fastest way to stumble, is to start thinking that you've accomplished something on your own or done it yourself, or it's just because you're so cute, God can't resist. No, no, no. I'm telling you, it's because of him, and it's because of the grace and favor that he's put in other people's lives around us, and that needs to be kept in mind. But I told him today, you know, only heaven will show you how many people that you've been a dad to in the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Okay, so this message is to the heart for hearts. Any heart. If your heart is yielded, there's amazing benefits. If your heart is saying yes to Jesus, and that can start today, don't think you have to qualify in any other way. He's already paid the price for your qualification. You can say yes to Jesus today with your heart. And you say yes to Jesus with your heart today, I want to tell you, it's on. It is on, and you are going to experience and discover great, amazing benefits. But it's amazing if your heart's not yielded to the Lord, and we're going to see this in this life of this king today, that sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't. Boy, that sounds like roller coaster. Well, I want to tell you, that's exactly the way a lot of Christians live. It's like roller coaster. God didn't design you to live roller coaster Christianity. Okay, I want to tell you, subnormal. You know what God designed? You know what he said? He'd make the mountains low, make the valleys high, and make a straight path for your feet. He wants you to walk in a consistency with him hand in hand and heart to heart. And if our heart's not yielded to him, it's amazing because we can miss. And we can get in ourselves in a mess in a hurry. Is that right or not? Thank you for being so honest. I know I'm preaching at the right place. But his heart is to show himself mighty in your life. In your kingdom, leadership. And so the big thing about this message is to line your heart and life with him. Just line it up with him. Line it up. Say yes. You know what repentance is? It's to change your mind. Change direction. Just line yourself up with the Word, with what the Spirit of the Lord is showing you. Say yes and yield and submit yourself to God. And you know what? That makes you a great receiver. It's not something you earn. You just line up in the right lineup to receive it. And if you don't do that, well, that's an athletic event right here. If you don't line up your heart, then I want to tell you, you can miss. You can miss. Because it means that you're saying no to them. And if you say no to them, I see Brother Ravenhill made this so clear to me. He would say it like this. He'd say, a single no from you to God can shut down what God's saying and what God's doing in your life. Now that sounds serious. And I want to tell you, from our point of view, it may not be at the moment. But from heaven, it very well may be. Because it's serious to say no to God. And we're going to see in the life of this king, he began to say no in little things. But you know, if you say no to God in little things, it's very easy to say no to God in big things. Okay, are you ready for some word? I bet you are. I'm going to say it like this because I didn't get to talk to my sons to see the right way to say it. Amaziah is what I'm going to call him. And I was told by Dr. Gaylor, I was told him, son, just say it the same way every time. They won't know the difference. Okay, so I'm going to try to say it the same way. I love to look up Bible names because, and the rabbis taught me that there's a message from God in names. I never paid any attention to them until they taught me that. But then I started looking up names. And Amaziah means this, Jehovah is mighty. That's a good name. And I'm just going to say this to you out of the life of this king. Jehovah is mighty in your life when you say yes to him. When you agree. When you submit. When you depend on him. And you say, well, I don't know about this thing, humility thing. Not that simply. This is what humility is depending on him. Oh, my. Okay, this is out of 2 Chronicles 25. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. And it always lists with these kings who their mother was, because mothers are important in the development. Okay, I know we're talking about leadership today. Mothers and dads are leaders. Amaziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but listen to this, but not wholeheartedly. Did you hear that? Not with his whole heart. You know, in football, it's what we call it, being all in. It requires being all in. Now, I want to tell you something about this Bible. It's spoken from a loving heart of a father to people that he's given his best for. Because he gave you Jesus. He chose you over his own son. Beloved son. And so he's given us his best. And what he wants in return from us is that, you know what? You give your best to my son. Now, I want to tell you what your best is. It's not an A+ on your report card because God's not looking for that. It's not your work. It's not your report card. You know what he's saying when he's saying all in? He's talking about your heart. Your heart, this is something that everyone that's hearing my voice can do. You can say yes to God and surrender your whole heart. And the Bible says his eyes are looking to and fro across the world, and he's looking across this earth for those hearts that will turn toward him. You turn your heart toward Jesus today, it's on. But, the promises in this Bible and the lifestyle of victory, abundant life in this Bible, spirit-filled life, requires all in. It requires wholeheartedness. This is why there are churches, believers around the world who say, well, I know it works for them, but it don't work for me. Jesus is not the problem here. Because Jesus has given his best. And for every promise in this Bible, he's already said yes and amen for you. You know what heaven's waiting on? Our yes. Okay? All right. Amen, Brother Tim. Okay. So, not wholeheartedly. Now, when Amaziah was well established as king, in other words, he didn't make changes immediately. Boy, I tell this to pastors all the time when they go to a new church. I say to them, I know you're going to see things immediately that you want to do. Just hold on. Don't make any big changes immediately. The first thing that needs to happen is that you need to get to know the sheep and the sheep get to know you. Let me tell you something, what's more important than all the changes that you see or projects in your kid's life or in your people's life or business or home that you want to do, what's more important than projects are the people. It's more important that you get heart to heart. And when a pastor leaves after 14 months, I have to tell him, you didn't even know the people didn't know you. All you did was get through your favorite sermons. Okay. So he didn't do anything immediately. But after his kingdom was established, he brought justice in. Justice is important. And I want to tell you, the Bible says that when justice is in a nation, the nation rejoices. I want to say something to you for a family and a church. When there's justice in a church and in a family, the church rejoices, the family rejoices. You know what it brings? Security. You know what it brings? Peace. And you know what I mean by justice? God's way is the only way. As far as me and my household, as far as me and our church, or as far as me and my business, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do it God's way. I don't care what the world says. Okay, I want to tell you, there's blessing in that. It's amazing. And so, anyway, he established justice. He took care of those that were in bad shape in a bad way. And he also, this says in verse 4, that he didn't kill the children of the assassins. Now, I want to tell you the reason why he didn't kill the, because the world does. At that time and place, if there were assassins in the land, and people doing evil, then the new coming king would take the whole family out. That was the world's way. He didn't do the world's way. Aren't you glad? You know what he did? He followed the word. Because through Moses, the word had come down, and it goes like this. Parents must not be put to death for the sins of their children, nor children for the sins of their parents. Those deserving to die must be put to death for their own crimes. In other words, you don't blame the all generations or the whole family for something one does. Now look, that went against the world's way. But this was in the Word, and he respected. Somebody say he respected the Word. I want to tell you, when you respect the Word, you're sowing good seed and good soil. Okay? There's wisdom. See, what does the Word say? That ought to be our first question when something comes up. What does the Word say? And so, and it also says, so anyway, he showed courage. He had courage to put things in order. It takes courage to put things in order. Because you know what you're going to hear? Hey, you'll hear it from kids, you'll hear it from parents, extended family. That's not the way we do things. You'll hear it from ministries. That's not the way we've always done things. In order is God's way. And God's way pays off. Amen. And so he also organized an army. And he set generals and captains, and he took a census. He put the troops together, and they were trained in the use of spear and shield. And I want to tell you, through all the kings and everything in the Old Testament, I'm going to rush and tell you this because it applies to us, is that the Word of God honors a strong defense. Always did. Always does. Our nation needs to have a strong defense. Let me announce this to you. Every church needs a strong defense. We got spiritual enemies. Let me tell you something. Your family has spiritual enemies. Hey, honor the Lord by having a strong defense mindset. Sober-minded. A lot of love in the house. Sober-minded for an enemy to come in. They sneak in. The world's way. Okay, I think you know what I'm saying. But something that he did. And so that was all good. But something that he did in verse 6 that wasn't good was this, is that he took 7,500 pounds of silver. That's some ching ching. And he hired 100,000 experienced warriors from another nation. And so that wasn't good. Because I want to tell you what that was. That was insecurity. He's saying, you know what? I've done this, got this in order and everything, but I'm scared we're going to get whooped. And so I'm going to get some extra defense here. Well, I want to tell you, he hired an army. And I want to tell you what that means. That means he was insecure. That means insecurity is not depending on God. And so he wasn't depending on God, he was depending on this other army. If I get in trouble with this other army, I'm going to kick him in because I already paid him. All right? And so the Lord wants us to depend on him and trust in him. And so a word of God came from a prophet and said to him, Your Majesty, do not hire these other troops. The Lord's not with them, and the Lord will not be with those people when they go to battle. And so the Lord's not for that. And what the prophet was telling them is that don't make alliances. Wait a minute. Don't make commitments to the world or other people for your own security. Don't depend on others for what God wants to do. If you depend on other people, you're going to be offended and you're going to stumble. If you depend on God, you're going to have his success. And so we don't make allowances or alliances out of fear. Now I want to tell you, and I'm just going to say this and move on. I know it's common practice of the world for us to have business partners. If you have a business partner, praise God, I'm praying for you. Let's go for it. We pray for your prosperity, your blessing. But I want to tell you something. The word hints not to have business partners for the same reason that if you have a partner that's not walking with God, that's got secret sin in their life, and the Lord wants to deal with them, he got to deal with you in order to deal with them because you're in alliance. You're in commitment with them. This is what he was saying about this other army. Don't do that. Because the Lord is not for them. And if they join you and the Lord needs to deal with them, he got to deal with you. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, and so I want to say this to you because the world doesn't think this way. The world thinks numbers are strength. The world thinks a lot of ching-ching is strength. I want to tell you, heaven doesn't see it that way. As a matter of fact, I'm going to rush to say this. The Lord's always chosen the minority, always chosen the few to confound the wise. Okay, that's been a way of God. So numbers are not the key to success. Listen to this. He is. When you depend on him, look, you can't depend on the paper on the wall that says you're going to be a success. If you're depending on that paper and that picture on the wall that makes you a success, you're going to lose. You got to depend on him. You can't depend on your former success. You got to depend on him. It's with your heart. Is your heart depending on the Lord? Your human strength is not the key to victory. God is the key to your victory. And because of the cross, we start with blessing. You don't have to earn blessing. We start with blessing. Man, this is grace. It's by grace, not by works. But we still have the ability to restrict the Lord. You say, Brother Tim, if it's by grace, it's done whether or not we... Yes, it's already done. Let me announce to you, it's flowing. But we have an opportunity to turn it off. And I'm going to give you New Testament terminology because you like that, and I do too. It says, quench not. Quench not. When you quench the Spirit, you can limit the Spirit. Word tells us, liberate the Spirit. You cooperate. You say yes to the Spirit. You liberate the Spirit. And it's all on, my friend. Isn't that exciting? And I'm going to tell you, the whole world knows it was God. He gets honor and glory. You get benefit. And everybody that you love and know, they do too. Doesn't that sound like fun? Okay, that's the way the Lord's designed it. And so Amaziah asked the man of God, he said, well, wait a minute, time out. I've already paid for him. I paid 7,500 pounds of silver. What about the money? This is what the answer is. Because, see, some of you have been ripped off financially. Some of you have been done wrong. Okay, you want to sing the tear in the beer song. I'm telling you, somebody done me wrong song. And I understand that. And I want to tell you that happens in this life over and over again. But it's how you respond. It doesn't matter how much money it was. This is the answer. Same answer as prophet told the king, and it comes for you. This is what he said. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. When you say yes to God by saying no to the world, to this army, even though you've already paid it, the prophet is saying the Lord can restore that money much more. Now, you probably don't know this, and don't ask me any questions because I ain't going to tell you. But even since we've been in this location, in the great city of Euless. We had a church take advantage of us. I'm just going to tell you, $12,000 worth of advantage. And you know what they said? You know? So I want to tell you, on my way, driving back to the office, I was hurt and wounded. Wisdom is I gave it to God. And before I got here, you know what the Lord said to me? Hey, when one sheep's stolen, seven more come. You know what it's called? Jesus' restoration. And so I'm announcing to you, I begin to hurry up and multiply. What? 12,000 times seven. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, not by feeling, but by faith, I want to tell you, I said yes to God for that. I said, okay, yes. Yes, Lord. I say yes to that 12 times 7,000. Come on, 12,000 times 7. That's exciting. And I want to tell you, that's the way of the Lord. Now, am I going to say yes or no? Am I going to liberate the Spirit of God by saying yes? Or am I going to quench or limit the Spirit of God by saying no? Are you hearing? And so I want to tell you, when you experience loss, somebody takes advantage of you, or by your own foolish, come on, you know what happens by decisions, that we blow something, miss something some way. The fastest thing to do, the best thing to do, is surrender to God in a hurry and submit to the Lord and receive His yes blessing on it. Because the Lord can restore what the enemy has stolen. Somebody say amen. So Amaziah turned those troops loose. He told them, go home, you're fired. And I want to tell you something. He knew it was going to happen, and they did. They got mad about it. Now I want to tell you, he was willing for people to be mad at him in order for the Lord to stay glad at him. Now I want to just announce something from the cross. The Lord's still glad at you. He not mad, he glad. But I want to tell you something. In the Old Testament, he chose the gladness of God over the sadness or madness of men. That's wisdom. And I want to tell you, God honored that because they were in a rage. But he was willing to obey God even if it made people mad. Somebody need to write that one down. Because it's amazing sometimes how just a look of disapproval from somebody can make us say, oops, sorry, don't want to offend. No, I am telling you, we ought to love God so much. Hey, we're not here to be entertainers. We're here to be shepherds. And so I want to tell you, sometimes churches have this mindset that, you know what, we just want to make them smile, make them laugh, make them happy, so when they leave, they'll come back, maybe bring some more with them. And I want to tell you, church, I want to tell you, it's fun. It ought to be fun. I'm telling you, when you're celebrating and praising God, but church is for God. Church is to honor the Lord and worship the Lord. It's not for entertainment. If you have a good time at church, praise God. But the source, the purpose, is not to entertain people. It's to share Jesus with people. It's to love on people and love on Jesus. And so I had a pastor the other day ask me, and he didn't mean no harm by it. He said, man, I'm getting a lot of likes. How many likes you got? I said, I have no clue, man. I said, I don't dare even look, because everywhere I go, I don't know whether to pucker or to duck, okay? But see, what I'm saying is this, is that the goal of your life is not a popularity contest. The goal of your life is to please the Lord, is to honor the Lord, and that ought to be in your family, in your business, in your church. Somebody say amen, okay? Thank you for agreeing so quickly. I can move on that way. But this is what he did. So, let me just say, he experienced great victory in battle. And so, you know, he had some insecurity issues, so he had to find courage. Guess where he found it? In the Lord. Because courage comes from God. And courage is not a lack of fear. If you think, well, I'm feeling some fear, that don't mean anything. I want to tell you it's an emotion. And I want to tell you it's a lie. And what you do is focus on God and receive strength from God. And you do it in spite of what you may be feeling. You do it in spite of an emotion. You say yes to God. And you watch God show up and give you strength. It's strength from God that gives you the ability to face fear and do what he wants anyway. God shows up, he does it with you. And so sure enough, he found courage from the Lord, and he experienced a great victory against the Edomite troops. And so there was great victory in battle. We're a people of faith, not fear. Our motivation is from love, not from fear. Somebody say amen. Okay, I got some more on that. Don't have time for it. Okay, it comes down to Proverbs 21:31. Proverbs 21:31 says this, who or what are you depending on? See, the horse is prepared for the day of battle. It's our right to prepare. You need to be prepared. But what are you depending on? You can't depend on the horses. You got to depend on the Lord. If you're depending on the Lord, he shows forth his victory in your life. When King Amaziah returned from the great victory against the Edomites, what he did was so foolish. Now, I know you want to throw a Bible at him, but hold on, because we've done the same thing in so many ways. He brought with him idols taken from the people, and he set them up as his own gods. Notice that terminology, own God, because he thought he owned them. I'm telling you up front, idols can take many different shapes, many different forms. Idols. Your idol, you may think you own. But in a little while, they can own you. And they will steal your heart away from the Lord. That's what idols do. So, he set them up as his own. He thought he owned them. And he bowed down in front of them, and he offered sacrifices to them. Now, this is right after the Lord had given them a great victory. Now, somebody say, stuck on stupid. Okay, that's a good description of foolishness. And foolishness actually doesn't describe an action. In the Proverbs, when it talks about fool or foolishness, it's talking about a heart that's hardened against God, a heart against God. A heart against God will make foolish decisions. Okay? And so that's where that comes from. Stuck on stupid. Now, I want to tell you, we've done that. And so let me tell you what it sounds like in Texas terms. After God gave him a great victory, he's turned his heart away from God. And he just saw God as a 911 call. Wait a minute. God gave me victory, I know that. But now I'm going to go play. And when I get another 911, I'll call on God. Because he did it for me before, he'll do it again. And you know what? He very well may, because he loves you so much. But I want to tell you something. There comes a time, and you don't know when it is, when there's an invisible line there. And you'll be over here with the Lord, and you'll cross the line and go play with the idols, and you'll come back, and you'll go back, and you'll play with the idols. But see, something happens with this invisible line. You don't know where it's at. And you lose the sense of where you are and where that line is. And it's very, very possible for you to get disoriented, just like a termite in a yo-yo, where you don't know up from down. And I'm going to tell you something, that's when the idols own you. And I want to tell you about every idol. I don't care how pretty they look, how good they look, how much fun they are. I'm telling you, they're destructive. And they steal. And they take away. And so, do I live how I want to live? Well, if I get in trouble, I'll just call on God. But you know what? The Lord sent a prophet to him and said, why did you turn to gods who could not even save their own people from you? And I'm just going to announce this. And if you're here, because I deal with it every year, if you're here and I've dealt with you on this, I'm not picking at you. I've got about 46 years of testimonies about this. But every time I've dealt with physical adultery with people, there was spiritual adultery first. Okay. I know you're not supposed to pause too long on media, but that needs to set in because that's very, very important. Okay. The king interrupted. How am I doing? I got about five. Okay, watch this right here. We're going to go on. The king interrupted him when the prophet was telling him this, was telling him that God doesn't like this. You're cutting God off. You cut God off, he's going to cut you off on your victories. And the king got mad. Now, He got mad and he told the prophet, and I'm just going to kind of tell you the way he said it. He told the prophet, "Who made you my counselor? Who told you to speak?" And he said, "You need to shut up. If you don't shut up, I'm going to shut you up forever. I'm going to have you killed." Now, I want to tell you, that's shooting at the mailman, okay? And I hear it like this right here. Because you know what? It's my joy and privilege to love on the sheep as an under-shepherd. But in loving on the sheep, man, you pour all the good into them, but then you have to tell them, now don't go over there where the snakes are. Okay, that's not good. And sometimes when you're pointing out things to help them, it comes back like this. "I'm going to go to another counselor. Pastor Tim's not positive anymore. Kind of hurt my feelings." Now, I want to tell you something. You can go to world-minded, world-based counselors, and they're going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. As a matter of fact, let me just hurry up and say this. If you got friends that you run to with your problems, and you know they're going to agree with what I say, they're going to be on my side no matter what, and you tell them and they always agree with you, I want to tell you, that's not wisdom. That's not helping you. That's hurting you. I want to tell you what a real friend is, by the way. A real friend will hear your heartbeat, and even when you're wrong, they'll point it out and love you anyway and not go tell the book of face about it. Be careful who you empty those emotions out to. And so, no victory from God. After consulting these advisors that agreed with him whatever he wanted to hear, he decided that, you know what, I know I'm good because I already defeated them people, and it don't matter what that prophet said, we're going to fight and we're going to win. So he just challenging people. Now, in East Texas, under the pine trees, they have a little term for this. That little fella, you get a little bit too big for your britches. And what that means is your cap don't fit no more. And you know what, you making it all about you, you're going to stumble. And that's what this king did. And the next thing you know, he challenged somebody for a fight, went out and got whooped. Now see, it's one thing for a leader to get whooped. And if you're a leader of a family or a leader or whatever, in whatever form, you know, it's one thing for you to get whooped. But keep this in mind. When you get whooped, your family gets whooped too. Pastors. And we ministered a lot of pastors. Yeah, I love pastors. Nobody loves them more than I do. Nobody encourages them more. Nobody speaks into their life more than I do. Because I don't mind doing that. But I want to tell you something. If you lose, if you stumble, little lambs are going to fall over you. Now, God's not looking for perfection. I want to tell you, hey, Jesus paid the price for your sins to be forgiven, and they are. But I want to tell you something. He's not looking for perfection. There's no one perfect. But I want to tell you something. He's looking for direction of heart. And when your direction of your heart is right, he will make you a right. He will raise you up. He'll restore your life. And so it's very, very important. And so he was brought back as a loser. And the gate was torn down. And I just want to say this. Leaders. Dads, moms, leaders, you're the doorkeeper. I know you might think, well, this is our business and it don't affect our kids, it's private or whatever. I want to tell you something. You're the doorkeeper. You're the gatekeeper. And if the gate's torn down, you know there's an open invitation for the enemies to come in. And not only that, it describes that 600 feet of the wall was torn down. And so I'm announcing to you, when the gate, when you lose and you're the doorkeeper and there's no doorkeeper, then I want to tell you something. Protection is gone. Do you understand divine protection? Divine protection is beautiful. We preach it. We live it. We preach it. We believe in it. But I want to tell you, when the protection is torn down, listen to what happened. The enemy carried off the gold and silver articles of the temple. They seized the treasures out of the royal palace, along with hostages. And so I'm announcing to you that we see this as a pattern. Parents, your kids are treasures from the Lord. Do you know it's possible to lose your treasures? Man, I'm not speaking that on you. I'm saying from the Word of God, let's say yes to God so this never happens. I'm telling you, there's promise in the Word of God that those that are redeemed, the righteous, that their kids will be rescued. Well, I'm telling you, don't let your treasures be lost. Don't let the walls of protection be torn down. Don't let the door be broken away. And the way you do that is by depending on God, not on your perfection, but by your direction of heart, depending on God, because He becomes your protection. He enforces the doorkeeping protection. It's more than locks. It's Him. And so when he turned his way away from the Lord, this is what happened. The next thing you know, he lost favor with God and he lost favor with man. A conspiracy was put out against him and assassins were assigned and found him and killed him. And so he lost. This is his story. His story is, after he turned his heart away from God, no divine favor, no favor with man, conspiracy, no favor, no protection, he lost. So, when his heart was toward God and he followed his words, he received victory, favor, and wisdom. After he turned his heart away from God, guess what? His heart hardened. And he didn't even know it. His heart hardened. He became rebellious, foolish decisions, lost battles, lost treasure, lost protection, lost favor. This is something that no self-promotion is going to fix. I know that there are people that will promote themselves to try to have victory. I want to tell you something. Promote Jesus. I got to rush to say this, and I'm finished, all right? It's time for me to finish. Samuel told Saul from the Lord, as long as you were small in your own eyes, I could use you. When you became too big for your britches, I had to back off. You're saying, Brother Tim, that's not grace. Yes, it is. Because I want to tell you something about New Testament. Peter says this, that you know what? We're to humble ourselves before God. We're to walk in humility before God and man. And Peter says that God will resist his own. Are you listening to me? You're talking about the world. No, no, I'm just talking about believers, my friend. God will resist his own over pride. Because if you've got pride, you're saying self is the way. And God can't put his extra measure of grace on that. Because you're saying no to it. He's not judging you. You know what it comes down to? Because the cross has paid for your blessing. You know what it comes down to? We reap what we sow. If your heart's toward God, the yes is on. If your heart's saying no to God, He can't cooperate with that. You have fallen from grace. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about the flow of God. Okay, so there's a way. Heart direction, not perfection. We humble ourselves, say yes to God, and He gives us favor. Remember this out of Psalm 23:5, that you know what? He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That's your Lord. That's your shepherd. Are you following your shepherd? Are you saying yes to Him? You know what He says? That He will anoint your head with oil. He will do for you what you can't do for yourself. He anoints you with oil. Hey, He causes you to be what He wants you to be and to do what He wants you to do. That's God doing it. And you know what He says? He says, my cup runs over. Hey, how's your heart? How's your cup? How's your heart or your cup right here? Hey, is it full? Because that's God's desire for you. Is it overflowing? The fullness of the cup is for you. All the benefits of that. The overflow of the cup is the blessing flowing out to others, spilling off on others. That's what grace is. I love you. Jesus loves you. You know what the message is? Amaziah would tell you today, Would you please say yes? Because see what I did wrong. Because when you say no to God, you're also saying no to those who follow you or are with you. And you're limiting God because He wants to do a whole lot more. Let's choose God's best today. I'm praying for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise, we give you glory, that your works are forever true. And that, Lord, you've paid the price for our sins to be forgiven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we don't have to beg for it, we don't have to work for it, we don't have to earn it, that your forgiveness is a gift. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord, that your favor is a gift. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that our eyes of our hearts be open, ears of our hearts be open, that we'll hear and see you, that you love us to the uttermost, and that you have abundant life for us, that you paid the price, your victory to be our victory in this life. And we give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a thank you. Hallelujah.